This is Inside the Net with Amber MacArthur, episode 15 for March 21st, 2006, YouTube. Happy spring, Amber MacArthur. Spring has sprung. What's it like in Toronto right now? Is it warm?
I think it's the coldest day of the winter.
It's 25 Fahrenheit, which is, what is that, like 9 below or something? Or?
Yeah, it's quite chilly, and with the wind chill, it's even colder than that. So we've been having some of our coldest weather at the beginning of spring, so that's all right. I hope in a couple of weeks it will warm up, maybe even by the time you're here next week.
Yeah, that's right. I'm coming up, so please, warm up, Toronto, please. So you did a really interesting interview with, I think, probably one of the hottest sites on the net right now.
Yeah, it really is. I interviewed Steve Chen from YouTube, and he is the CTO and one of the co-founders. And I know we both...
First of all, let's spell it. Because everybody, every time I say, oh, YouTube, they go, YouTube, the band? They're doing a website?
Oh, no, that's funny.
YouTube, Y-O-U-T-U-B-E, like your tube, TV tube thing.
YouTube, exactly. YouTube. That's a really good point.
Not a really good name, I have to say.
It's not. And I think, you know, we've both been kind of keeping an eye on them for a while. So I'm used to the name, but I remember thinking that initially that it was YouTube and people, YouTube or U2, and people didn't really know how to spell it.
Right,
so,
right.
But they're hugely successful now. And
they've become a viral site.
They really have.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about them.
Yeah. Well, you know, they started out, just allowing you to upload your videos and share videos, and it's all in a flash format. So the idea was to become a place like kind of like Flickr, and I've heard them be compared to sort of the Flickr for videos. And, you know, they didn't have too many users at the very beginning, and they grew really, really quickly, especially as people tended to use that as the primary source to upload videos, video podcasts, clips off major networks like NBC. Then they started to get in trouble by NBC, and then they started to get in the news more, and then more people start using them. So they're huge now. I think they're probably the top place where people go to really upload videos for free and share those videos.
Who did you talk to?
Steve Chen, who is the CTO and one of the co-founders. And I asked Steve how YouTube got started.
Chad is the other co-founder of the company, and he's the CEO. We were early employees of PayPal back in 1999. And since PayPal, we've been getting together for sort of monthly lunches, monthly dinners. And in January of 2005, we had met up at my place in San Francisco for a dinner party. And we were taking videos and photos, and the next day we found out that while we could share the photos pretty easily, the videos, there was just no way to share it. We couldn't email it. There were no sites out there to upload this content, and so we thought this was going to be a bigger problem as sort of digital cameras and now even cell phones become more pervasive with the ability to take videos. So we started working immediately the next day on sort of a way to upload and host personal videos.
So you decided to take something that's really complicated to do on the web and find a solution for it.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there definitely were some sites out there at the time that were doing, I mean, I think videos have been around in a sort of more complicated fashion even back in 2001, 2002. You know, there's a lot of sites out there where you'd have to choose between sort of Real Player, Windows Media Player, QuickTime Player. A lot of that work ended up, they ended up pushing it onto the actual clients, the actual users. And what we sought out to do was to try to minimize that difficulty as much as possible. So on our site, the process of uploading a video, I mean, you can sign up and upload your first video within 10 minutes. And we take care of all the sort of transcoding and replication and serving out the videos in one common format, Flash Video. So it overall just makes it very easy for the clients. They don't have to download any software. They don't have to download any codecs to start watching the videos on our side.
So what was it like after you first launched? Because I'm guessing after this dinner party, there was a few months of work before you actually went public with everything.
definitely. So the sort of timeline was from January until May. That was when we were working on the site. And then in May was when we officially released a preview of the site. And in December was when we had the official 1.0 release. And by that time already, we've been receiving something like 3 million views a day. And the growth has just kept up. I mean, even now at the beginning of March, from the December of 3 million views a day to March, now we're at 30 million views a day, and it doesn't look like it's stopping anytime soon.
I know, I hear about you guys all the time in the news. And how has the company grown along with the growth of the service itself? Because I'm guessing it was just more than you and Chad quickly.
No, I mean, definitely across the board. I mean, I think every number, every metric here is sort of on an exponential curve, including the headcount of the company. And so a lot of the really been expanding the engineering force here. Just the big part is just, you know, the amount of bandwidth that we're pushing out. I mean, one funny commentary that we use is the amount of data that we send per employee is probably the highest of any company out there. So we're at 22 employees now, I think everybody is sort of playing multiple roles. I mean, I think we have a server farm out there that's much bigger than what you would think an engineering team of 9 people can maintain.
I'm sure. So in terms of you guys starting out and over the first few months, was there any point where you thought, oh, this is going to be really successful? Because I know that over the past few months, obviously, you know, you've been in the news a lot. It's kind of hit mainstream and people are talking about YouTube. But was there any point where, you know, last summer there was a video that just went around and it was downloaded a number of times, or any sort of defining moment when you kind of made that switch to think, hey, you know, we're onto something good?
Well, I mean, I think in the very beginning, we just surveying the landscape that there wasn't a solution. I mean, when we talk about what is YouTube, it's just a place to share videos. It's a very simple it's a very simple idea, and we're sort of surprised that nothing like this already existed before sort of 2005, seeing as how many sort of photo sharing sites out there. And so we thought we had a good idea, but I think just due to sort of the explosive growth that we've seen in the last 4 or 5 months, all of us have been sort of at the basement level of just dealing with the problems rather than sort of seeing at the overview level, seeing what we've accomplished. But I think only in the last you know, couple of months now, from February to March, when we've started seeing just with the when we really started looking that, you know, we have hit mainstream with the videos and looking at some of the objective metrics and benchmarks, you know, either from Alexa, Net Nielsen rating, just looking at how much data we're pushing out and how far our reach is, it's slowly hitting us that we are hitting the mainstream.
And is there a difference in terms of the type of content that people were putting onto YouTube, say, 6 months ago and today?
Well, I think there's been a sort of internal shift, I think, from the market. And so when we originally launched the site, it was completely user-generated videos. And what we've seen is through this sort of steep curve, you know, going from 30 million views a day, a lot of the premium content providers, guys like MTV, a video recently from Dimension Films, you know, Fox, a lot of these guys are also seeing, hey, this is a good way to reach this sort of the demographics that they want to reach. And and before YouTube, there really wasn't a way for people to sort of reach people on the net and bring them back to television, which I think in the last couple months with some of the negotiations and deals that we've been pushing through, we're seeing that not just users, but also these premium content providers are looking at YouTube as a vehicle to bring people back from the internet back to their television shows.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the most interesting things about YouTube. I've been following what's been happening with NBC and a lot of the videos from, say, Saturday Night Live that are being put onto YouTube, and it's kind of forced NBC into a situation where they've had to launch their own site, where I think they call it Web Favorites or something like that, and they are putting the videos up on their site because they would rather people go to their site than YouTube. You know, in terms terms of what's been happening with NBC and some of these videos, how have you guys been dealing with that? Because I know it's a struggle to, you know, see the Natalie Portman rap from Saturday Night Live being put onto YouTube, and then you have to pull it down, and someone else puts it back up as fast as you can get it down.
Right. So, I mean, the first thing is we are completely abiding with the DMCA. So anytime, and we take it very seriously, all the copyrighted content. And so as soon as the DMCA takedown notices are given to us, we usually act. I mean, even though I think the DMCA gives us leeway of 24, 48 hours, we generally react within 2-3 hours as soon as we receive it. But at the same time, we're also doing, I mean, through our experience, I mean, the DMCA is a little cumbersome for both parties. And we've done as much as we can to try to make it easier, the entire process easier for everyone involved. And, you know, as you've seen, I don't know if you've seen recently, we've done a few changes in the last 2-3 weeks that we hope will contain some of this content. One of them is fingerprinting of all the videos coming in, such that after a video is rejected by the DMCA or after it's been taken down by the DMCA takedown notice, if another user tries to upload that and has the same sort of fingerprint identifier, we just don't allow it into the system anymore. And the same thing with things like, because we do think that YouTube is for two purposes. One is for user-generated content, and the other one's for promotional content. There's no reason for us to host videos that are longer than 10 minutes in length. So that was something we actually pushed out, I think, just last week, which would just automatically remove videos over 10 minutes in length. We also created this premium content provider feature where we allow these guys to actually do more with their videos. For guys like Fox, for guys like guys like Dimension Films, they can actually upload content to YouTube and have it look a little different from the user-generated content. So we're just trying to make it as easy as we can to make these people, either from the takedown notice, but also from the cooperation standpoint.
And, you know, how do you think that this is affecting some of these big networks, though, in terms of, you know, I just keep bringing up NBC because they've been in the news most, but, you know, it's forcing them to really understand that the internet audience is huge and they need to put some of those videos out there, and in fact it will help their shows in the long run. I know just from some of the stuff that's gone on YouTube from Saturday Night Live that everybody is talking about it, and all of a sudden Saturday Night Live is hip again. So you know, what do you think of that in terms of, you know, the effect you may have on mainstream broadcasters?
No, I think it's a really good point with the sort of NBC. I mean, it's I think just with that clip alone and how virally it's spread, with the millions of people coming to it, I think it has sort of revived the hipness of Saturday Night Live in a way. And I think there's just a lot of other guys out there that are sort of, you know, pondering how do we get connected with this sort of the internet audience, this internet age of people that never turn on their TVs or hardly turn on their TVs. How do we get them to come back to the television or going out to see movies or going out to see bands? That's another big thing, is a lot of bands are putting up, a lot of these indie rock bands are putting up their videos on YouTube and sort of doing promotion through that route. And what we're seeing is just there's a lot of sort of content out there apart from user-generated content that people are putting up onto YouTube, and sort of seeing the rewards from that being, you know, either more viewers coming back or you know, more people watching these and listening to new bands.
You know, one thing that's interesting, which I'm sure you guys have thought about a lot, is that, you know, when you have this huge base of users, they're able to quickly put this content online, where maybe someone like a mainstream broadcaster hasn't quite figured it out yet and takes them a day or 2 days to get the content online. So I'm sure that's something that these people are struggling with as well, in terms of trying to compete with an audience of people who are just putting videos online, you know, as fast as, you know, within minutes, I'm sure, and broadcasters just can't keep up with that.
Oh, certainly. I mean, I think that highlights the point with some of these music labels that we've been dealing with. You know, we've been working with just you know, movie studios and television networks and music labels. But I think specifically with the music labels, these guys are able to produce a sort of a music video within 2 weeks, and immediately they can get it up onto YouTube and their fans can see it right away within, you know, 30 minutes, rather than having to go through the sort of the normal vehicle of distribution, be it, you know, getting it authorized to be displayed on, you know, MTV or whatnot. And so I think they're also seeing something there with the speed that they can get this content up.
And what about MTV, just because you mentioned it? You guys have recently formed a partnership with them? Or MTV2,
right,
possibly?
MTV2, correct. And them, again, I think they've been sort of experimenting around with sort of how to get the millions of viewers that are coming to YouTube to sort of also come back and watch MTV shows.
And just since you are probably obviously one of the main technical guys on at YouTube, I have a quick question about the Flash videos, because, you know, video has been online for a while, and there's a lot of people, including myself, who do video podcasts, and we're trying so hard to get really high-quality versions of these videos online. And, you know, I think the truth is people want to be able to just click and watch them. So do you see YouTube as staying as a site that just offers up Flash video, or do you see, you know, possibly maybe expanding or getting better quality videos up there?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's sort of multiple dimensions to the answer to that. I mean, one is at the end of the day, you know, broadband wealth always increasing, the it's still not 100% pervasive, right? And so it's always sort of this compromise on our part to sort of say, what is the ideal bit rate to use for the encoding of our videos? Because we still want people, even if they don't have the fastest broadband out there, the fastest connections out there, to be able to use the site in some way without having to wait too long. And then the other thing, too, is the with the downloading of the videos. On our side, we've talked about it, and it's very easy for us to support the downloads of the videos. However, due to sort of the legal aspect of if we do get a takedown notice, or if, because it's user-generated content, because we're not sure that the actual users own this content, if we reallow it to be downloaded, you know, then we don't have the control. I mean, one aspect that's really good about YouTube is we do have that. It's a central server, right? And so all the videos, all the 30 million videos that are being watched on YouTube every day, it's coming directly from one of our servers. And if any time one of these videos are taken down, it's immediately taken down and no further access can be given to that video.
And, you know, as far as some of the videos that you've seen up there, again, let's not talk about, you know, obviously some of these shows that have been going up or clips from these shows, but in terms of independently produced clips, what are some of the funnier clips that you've seen or interesting uses for YouTube? Because I'm sure there's, you know, millions of videos that have been put up there, and you probably come across some funny stuff now and again.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one that I recall the most is, I think it's the number one video of all time, in terms of views on the site. And it's the, it's someone from Southern California created a MySpace movie. And it's very independent. I mean, I think it's received, Kevin, like 5 million views now.
Approximately.
Yeah.
Just for anyone who doesn't know, Kevin's in the background, and Kevin is also with YouTube. I'm correct. Right, Steve?
Right.
Okay,
right.
Good.
that was also just another movie. So somebody went around and shooting sort of a movie about MySpace, and his friend ended up uploading it to YouTube. And within, and this was only, I think, like 3-4 weeks ago, within that time, it received 5 million views. It also, the author of the movie, the producer of the movie, has also received, we've heard recently, an MTV deal. And, you know, we were excited about it because it is, one, user-generated content, and two, it using YouTube as sort of their distribution vehicle, they were able to score a deal with MTV.
Wow, that is pretty awesome. I'm sure we'll see a little more of that as well in terms of independent movie producers wanting to put their videos online and getting more exposure and just getting out there instantly, quickly, and really for free.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, aside from sort of user-generated content and sort of the premium content guys, I think there's also this middle ground of sort of independent film producers, small indie bands that would like to use YouTube as the easiest way to distribute their video to millions of people.
And so, just again, how many users do you guys have right now, do you think, total?
We haven't released that number. What we are receiving 80,000 registrations a day, and from sort of the net Nielsen rating, we are getting about 9 million unique views, unique users coming to the site a day.
A month.
A month. And
wow.
I mean, just as a reference, I think Google's getting 6 million, and Yahoo's getting about the same.
Wow, that is pretty amazing. So, and you received a round of financing, I think, back in the fall or early winter. So what's the vibe like around YouTube right now? I know you were named one of the top 25 companies in Business 2.0. In the past few weeks, you've had press and a lot of the mainstream media. What does it feel like walking around the YouTube offices? Is everybody smiling and excited?
I think everybody's pretty tired. it's definitely, we did receive a funding round from Sequoia Capital. Roloff sits on our board. Roloff was also the CFO of PayPal, and we've known him for 3-4 years as well. And just a lot of there's a lot of excitement here. It's we're still a small company, and I think the best part is we're just able to move so quickly. And anytime the stages of innovation, the stages to get something that an idea to actually release and being used by users, we can do this within sort of a 24-hour turnaround. We've seen just so many times where over lunch, somebody has a great idea, and then within 24 hours, the engineers implement it and we push it out. And I think that's just one of the luxuries of being sort of small and very agile that some of the larger companies can't really compare to.
So are you going to try to stay small, or are you guys looking to get bought, or what's the long-term goal for YouTube?
No, I mean, I think we're definitely expanding as quickly as we can. I mean, certainly on the engineering department, I think the engineers need more sleep, and the only way that's going to happen is if we expand the engineering team. And then same thing with all the other aspects of the company. In terms of the sort of looking forward on the company, I mean, no, we plan on sort of still staying true to our goals of just becoming the platform to deliver and share videos on the internet. And I think, in many ways, I think we are only at its infancy with the internet. In terms of internet videos, there's a lot of discussion about sort of IPTV and a lot of user video content. And I think 2006 is just going to be a very exciting year in terms of where video and the internet start meeting up.
So when you say that people aren't getting a lot of sleep around YouTube, what kind of hours are you putting in, Steve? I'm just curious. It might make me feel better about all the work I do. I think I might feel lazy after getting this answer.
I don't know. I mean, it's really kind of in a bigger company, it's like if something does go wrong, there's always somebody that's supposed to take care of it. When there are only sort of four people that have to manage the hundreds of servers we have, anytime something goes wrong, we have to take care of it. So, a lot of it just depends on maintaining these servers. And I think everyone here everyone here has probably been pulling 80, 90 hours from the day they started until now on a weekly basis.
Wow. So what do you do for fun? Anything?
Sleep.
Sleep, yeah. I think if I were in your shoes, I'd probably want to do the same thing. So down the road, what can people expect from YouTube? Because I'm guessing, as you mentioned, you have lots of different features that you'll be adding. Where do you see it in 6 months in terms of the other things you can do on YouTube, or what people will be using it for?
Yeah, I mean, one thing is just in terms of just the engineering and the bandwidth, and then the product side. I mean, a lot of stuff is just continuing to scale out the product and making the experience just better. I think some of the stuff that we want to really move towards is the mobile market. There's just while you know, with the digital cameras, you can take videos and upload it to YouTube. With the mobile phones, you can directly take the, you know, with, as more mobile phones have video capability, video taking capabilities, we want to make sure that we can also just directly upload the videos from the mobile phones to YouTube. Yeah, it's something, and I think we're going to get also a lot of interesting content, because you can probably get your mobile phones into places that you could never get your digital cameras.
Keyword being interesting.
Yeah, we'll see. And I mean, overall, it's just continuing to make this the system just more user friendly. Being able to do things like collaborative filtering to make sure that we always present the most interesting content based on or specific and subject to each of the user's preferences.
And so it's completely free for someone to upload videos on YouTube. It's free for them to watch videos. How does YouTube make money in the end?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a combination of sort of promotional as well as advertising. There's a lot of interesting stuff that we can do. I mean, I think any site that's getting sort of 30 million people watching videos a day, there's definitely something in the advertising side.
But if there's not, there's a problem for all of us.
But at the same time, you don't see any advertising on the site currently, and it's just because we have experienced this tremendous feedback from the from our users, and they really like the site, and we've been just very careful about not wanting to we can do a lot of pre-rolls, post-rolls, and just make the user experience pretty bad if we wanted to, but a lot of discussion is just taking care to not infuriate the same users that helped build YouTube in the first place.
Definitely. So I promised I would only keep you for half an hour. We're just about to wrap, but I have one more question. For a new user, someone who doesn't know anything about YouTube and they want to go on the site and they want to watch a video, aside from the MySpace video, is there one category or one video you can point them to just to get a taste of what's up there?
If they're a soccer fan, I would love to point them to the Ronaldinho video uploaded by Nike. Between you and me, we found out that it was actually a stage performance. But if you were to just, it was pretty well done. It was Ronaldinho at the Nike camp, and he's juggling the soccer ball, and he's doing just normal tricks at first, but then standing from something like 35 feet away, he's ended up juggling the ball off the goalpost two or three times. We found out after we visited Nike that somebody was actually throwing the soccer ball back at him each time, but you can't tell that from the video.
Oh, very cool. So we'll make sure that we put a link to that up in the show notes on Inside the Net. All right, I will let you go, Steve, because I'm guessing you have lots of work to do and some sleep to get as well.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay, Amber. Thanks, Steve.
That's Steve Chen, the co-founder and chief technical officer at YouTube, which is probably a pretty big job, pretty tough job.
It sounds like he doesn't get a lot of sleep,
yeah.
So I think he's pretty busy, as is the rest of the YouTube team, because, again, they've just been, people have been hammering away on their site, and they've been involved in, legal issues with these big networks, and, everybody's going there to kind of watch videos, sort of like watching TV.
I have to say, I guess I understand the appeal of video. I'm an audio guy. We do these in audio, and we get a lot of pressure to do video of all the podcasts. And I like audio podcasts. But on the other hand, YouTube has become a great way to share clips with friends instead of hosting it yourself, or heaven forfend, emailing them a video clip. Just say, here's the link on YouTube. Really has helped the spread of viral video. I mean, Lazy Sunday is a perfect example,
Oh, exactly. As are, other videos from SNL, like the Natalie Portman rap that we mentioned when I was talking to Steve.
Right.
And I think one of the reasons it's so popular, really, and I noticed this from day one, is that it is so user friendly. It is very, very simple to use. It's basic and anyone, my mom could go on there and she could easily upload videos, and no one's been able to really achieve that and recognize that that's very important.
My kids use it instead of watching TV. I mean, I'm not kidding. They have YouTube bookmarked and they'll just go and look at the top videos all the time. It's really kind of amazing to watch. I mean, I think it's a phenomenon. I think that it's a precursor of what's going to happen, which is more and more people are going to watch their video on the net. They already are.
They already are. It's interesting that they've cut the video limit, I think, to 10 minutes, so people can't put anything longer on there right now. So they're trying to really reinforce it as the place to put video clips versus, you know, full 1 hour shows.
I think that makes sense. I think that's a smart thing to do.
It makes a lot of sense. And, you know, the attention span for people to watch videos online is not necessarily that long. So
How long is your typical Command N?
Typically for Command N, we run between 16 and 22 minutes.
So you keep it short for the same reason, probably.
Yeah, for the same reason. I even find, you know, some of the shorter episodes are the best. People can just sit down, they watch it, and, you know, a 15-minute break. And I don't think we'll ever want to go over 20 minutes per week. It's just, it's too much, especially for video. Audio is different.
No, I agree with you. I you want video in nice, discrete chunks. And in a way, this is, I think, also reinventing how we watch TV. I mean, the short form is now more appealing to us than long form, and I guess you'll still watch 24 for an hour on TV, but you know, you may be more interested. I mean, who wants to watch all of Saturday Night Live? Just give me the highlights, right?
Yeah, because most of the show, I mean, in an hour, you know,
it's all commercials.
I think it's even longer than that. Yeah, it's all commercials, and there's usually only a couple parts that are really, really good.
And
it's nice to see those over and over again.
And now your friends will send them to you so you don't have to watch anymore. No wonder NBC is suing, come to think of it. Next week, what are we talking about?
Next week, we'll be talking about Podzinger, which is a site where you can search audio and now video podcasts.
Great. That's exciting. Watch Amber and Mike on Command N at CommandN.tv every Monday, a brand new show chock full of goodness.
It sure is.
YouTubable goodness. Has anybody ever uploaded any cuts? I know there's one thing I think that they've uploaded.
Oh, boy. Yes, people have uploaded Command N, and we do it as well.
Yes.
And I have another silly little video on YouTube.
Oh, you do?
I sure do.
What one is that?
It's 1 year. We used to have pet geese when I lived on PEI. And 1 year, my mom cooked one of our geese for Christmas dinner, and she didn't tell me that we were eating Humphrey the Goose. So,
oh my gosh.
Unfortunately, Mike got hold of the video camera when I first started doing Call for Help on G4 Tech TV a year and a half ago, and he shot the entire drive home while I was talking about Humphrey and put it on YouTube. So it's really embarrassing.
I'm doing a search right now.
It's called Humphrey the Goose.
Hey, there's a lot of Command N on YouTube.
Yeah, we've been using it for a while.
That's great. All right, Amber MacArthur, we will talk again next week. We want to thank our good friends at AOL Radio for providing us with the bandwidth for this podcast and, of course, broadcasting it on their podcast channel. You want to know more? Go to AOL.com/podcasting. That's it for this edition of Inside the Net.
Thanks, Leo.